it's time to take a look at the top stories from this month. I joined PhD student David Weston from Cambridge University. He's been busy sifting through neuroscience research and comes up with his three favourite papers from the month.
The first paper I want to talk about has to do with memory. So scientists have thought for a long time that the birth of new brain cells within an area of the brain called the hippocampus is really important for memory function. But exactly how these new brain cells actually work and how they integrate into the brain is something that researchers have been working really hard over. So a group of scientists based at the State University of New York in the US have used a combination of viral and optogenetic techniques to find out just how important the growth of new brain cells within the hippocampus really is. They used a virus to deliver light-sensitive genes into newborn cells within the hippocampi of adult mice. So this virus infects only newborn cells and gives them genes that produce proteins that are sensitive to light. So this gives the researchers the ability to control cells by shining lights of different colours onto the cells to activate them or to deactivate them.
That's fantastic. So just by shining different coloured lights into these adult mice, they could actually switch on or off these newly born cells. What did the researchers do next?
Well, what they really wanted to do was to see how important new cells within the hippocampus are for memory function. So first they showed that if they activated the newborn cells, they could enhance something called synaptic plasticity. And this is widely believed by scientists to be a correlate with better memory function. They then tried to deactivate them by shining a different coloured light onto them. And they found that mice performed much worse in some tests of memory function.
So that kind of indicates that these newborn cells had something to do with memory formation then.
Yeah, it does. But interestingly, the effects of manipulating these newborn cells were only seen when the cells were 4 weeks of age, so not when they were older or when they were younger. So these results hint at the idea that the new cells within the hippocampus are able to exert a memory-enhancing effect, but only at early stages of their development.
Wow, so this means that the timing of when the new cells are born could play an important role in memory formation and behaviour. What's your next paper?
So the second paper I want to talk about also has something to do with timing, but it's about how much of your life is affected by your time as a fetus. So there's an increasing amount of evidence that suggests that many aspects of your adult health can be traced back to aspects of your fetal environment and, importantly, your birth weight.
So your weight at the time of your birth might be linked to things to do with your brain. How did the scientists in the study work that one out?
So this group of scientists were working as part of a collaboration between Norway and the USA, and they collected data from 628 adults, adolescents and children, and they measured things like the thickness of their cerebral cortex, the volume of their brain, so the size of it, and also the surface area of the brain using MRI machines. And they found that you can make a correlation between birth weight and the total size of the brain as an adult. So with a higher birth weight, you get a much larger size of the brain in the adult.
So at birth, your weight actually influences your brain size further down the line, you know, decades down the line. Is this actually important?
Well, low birth weight can influence your likelihood of getting some cognitive disorders like autism, where you're 5 times more likely to get the disease when you're born with a particularly low birth weight. While this study doesn't really say anything about specific links between birth weight and disease, it does show that brain development is heavily influenced by factors surrounding your birth.
And what's your final paper?
So the final paper this time is about a new drug that could help fight the effects of Alzheimer's disease. And it's a paper from a collaboration between groups in Japan and Canada who have taken an anti-diabetes drug and tested its ability to reverse some of the deleterious effects of the disease.
How can a drug designed for diabetes treatment actually help with Alzheimer's?
Well, this drug, which is called AC253, was originally part of a drug trial that looked for potential targets for diabetes. And one of these targets is a protein called amylin, which is actually very similar to the amyloid protein that's very important for Alzheimer's disease. So the team had already shown that this drug, AC253, could block the formation of toxic amyloid protein. But in this paper, they showed that treating brain cells with this drug could reverse some of the effects of Alzheimer's disease in vitro.
So these experiments were just performed in a petri dish, and, you know, a glass dish. Does it actually translate to what's going on in a human brain?
Well, the authors of the paper themselves seem quite optimistic about the prospect for a drug treatment, and the results are really encouraging because they show a reversal of an effect of a disease. So this might mean that they might be able to use this drug to reverse things like memory loss.
That was David Weston from Cambridge University with his favourite papers from the month. Still to come, we'll be answering your neuroscience questions. But first,